Mr. Chairman, I also ask that the other member do not interfere when I ask a question of the chair can deal with the chairing. Thank you. Casey, why did you make candidate nomination packets available 18 days after the deadline specified in the bylaws?
Why did you make which nomination packets? I'm sorry.
Candidate nomination packets available 18 days after the deadline specified in the bylaws.
At KPFA?
I know. You're talking about back
That's
in
right.
July? It was not 15 days. It was, I believe, 2 or 3 days.
But even then, why? There's a deadline that's specified in the bylaws.
Because we're finalizing the language. Some of it had been rewritten, and we were making sure that everything was available in Spanish.
Well,
okay, I'm going to go to the next person. We'll come back if you still have questions. Who is next? Was it Lydia?
I have a lot of questions for you.
Can I get back on the stack, Dave?
And Bob for the stack, please.
Hello, can you hear her? There's a lot of static.
Yeah, go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so my question, Casey, was the ballots have gone out for the staff election this week, right, at KPFK?
Yes, I heard.
People are receiving their staff members are receiving their new ballots.
Correct.
Okay. So, how do you reconcile that? Does that not take precedence over considering another explanation for those other ballots?
I think it would be much clearer if we went ahead with the new. But the new ballots, because they will be distributed on a timely manner to everybody. Unfortunately, the paid staff list was not received until at least 2 weeks after the rest of the staff ballots were mailed, and that was one of the problems with the delay of the election, and one of the reasons for the necessity to distribute so many replacement ballots. So this time, everybody will be included, has been included in this mailing. It's gone out, and I've gotten word that people are receiving them as of yesterday.
So are the chances better since people are probably already returning the second batch of ballots? Are the chances better that we will stick to this new plan of the new ballots rather than have controversy over those old ballots regardless of what's presented?
I my feeling is that there would be less controversial to discard the old ballots, not discard them, but
mm-hmm.
put them in storage and just count the new ballots. But part of that, of course, depends on the level of participation. And in order to assure a reasonable level of participation, we included stamped return envelopes.
Okay, but I mean, should we be telling people to return those new ballots? They don't
Absolutely.
Have to worry about cancel that you're going to reverse yourself.
Sending the new ballot won't have anything to do with whether the previous ballots get counted or not. That's an independent question. Obviously, if the old ballots count, one form of the count or another is certified, then the new ballots will not be counted. But it would be prudent for people to go ahead and participate as quickly as possible with the new ballot so that we can go ahead with that count if necessary.
I'm concerned. I want to say here, I'm concerned with the language. Should we be telling people? I think anything about the conduct of the elections should come in writing from Casey. And I also, Casey, can you report to people the blog that's now been posted for all such rulings and communication?
Yes. If I can remember off the top of my head, it's on WordPress.com. And it's, I believe it's Pacifica 2007 NES. And I forget whether there might be something more to this.
I'll look it up while you answer the next question.
Yeah.
It's just that people are confused, Dave, that's all.
say one thing further about Lydia's question and what you just said, Dave, and that is that I did send a note of explanation along with the new ballot that has a new personal identification number on it and and the return envelope. There's no no ballot pamphlet in this one, but I referred people to the national website that has the staff candidate statement and the staff questionnaire replies.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so that blog is actually http://pacifica2007nes, like National Election Supervisor, .wordpress.com. Okay, so the next person is, and if people want me, I'll send you the link. I'll send everybody the link via email. Yeah, sorry, what is it?
I'd like to be on the stack as well.
Okay, yeah, now I heard you and Lisa, you guys will be at the end because you've already spoken.
Sure, no problem.
Next person is Wendy, then Bob.
I'm sorry, Dave, my battery's dying on my phone, so I just wanted to let you know that I've been taking notes, but my phone is dying.
Thank you very much. So I'll take down any motions or I'll ask somebody else to do it from here on out. Thank you.
All righty.
See you, Lori.
All righty.
Okay, so Wendy.
Thanks. My questions have changed so many times during the course of this conversation. Casey, I appreciate so much you hanging in there through all of this. A lot of people are bringing up issues from their particular station, but I look at it as a whole, and you know, I really feel for what you're going through. I'm very happy to hear. I haven't looked at it yet, but if there is now a place where we can hear this stuff about the elections, because we are the PNB and we haven't heard an awful lot of your rulings and these things that you're dealing with, and I think that there kind of becomes a time when maybe you want to enlist our help and just see, you know, what can we do now rather than, I mean, I'm so upset to hear about this new thing with the KPFK staff election, which I still don't really understand, but it just looks like at every turn there's a whole other thing, and so I just, you know, maybe you would want to do this with us in executive session. I don't know, but there may come a time when we have to just stop and fix it. I don't know how better to say this in public session, but wow, you know, and so.
When did you have a specific question you want to ask?
Yes, I do, but I just don't know if it's how can we help you? My question. How can we help you?
I would like to see what has been talked about doing a task force. I think maybe bringing independent people in to look at the overall process to see how we can improve this for future elections. I'm hoping that we'll get things wound up in this election. The only thing that is really out of control at this point is anything that goes to court. But I know that things have been delayed. It seems for a long time that there is a new crisis, at least one new crisis every day at one station or another, and I think we need to revisit this process for a number of reasons. One is, I believe thoroughly in the democratic governance of the foundation and in the use of proportional representation. However, I also think that we need to look at how the campaign process tends to exacerbate tensions rather than to build bridges. One of the ways I tried to build bridges in this campaign was to have a more detailed questionnaire than we'd had in previous years and to post those replies on a question-by-question basis rather than a candidate-by-candidate basis that people could go to those questions and see the commonality that people who are ostensibly on opposing sides really have when it comes to policy questions. And I think that that's really a valuable thing if people actually stop and look at those things. See, yeah, there's a variety of ideas, but basically people tend to be in general agreement about the governance of the foundation if only they stop and look at the substance.
Casey, I just want to talk about how to stop the hemorrhaging, you know, and stop any chance of anybody doing another lawsuit. I mean, maybe we need to bail you out here.
You know, I don't know how to get out of the lawsuit that seems to be part of the Pacifica culture. It's really shocking to me that people tend to turn to that rather than to discussion first.
People want to vote. I think we should maybe just leave my question at that. I'm going to be talking to the PNB about it. Thank you for everything that you're doing, though.
Thank you, Andy.
Okay, the next person is Bob.
Thanks. I have three questions. First is about how replacement ballots were handled. When a replacement ballot was mailed out, was there a notification to that voter that their earlier ballot would be canceled so that if, in the unlikely event that somehow it turned up later, that they would understand that they shouldn't attempt to cast that, or that it's only the new ballot that would be counted going forward?
I believe that information was sent in the cover note, but I can't verify that without having it in front of me. It was Les Radke who sent that information out, and he gave me a copy of that, but it's in an email that I don't have in front of me at the moment. I'm sorry, I can't recall.
Okay. You just mentioned the questionnaires, and if I recall, it was possibly 2 or 3 weeks after the deadline. The deadline for receiving them was October 15th, but it took 2 or 3 weeks after that before they were up on the website, and there was no notice in the ballot materials that the website, that the questionnaire answers were even up on the website. So, nor were there any carts, at least at WBAI, there were no carts on the air announcing that you can get more background on what the candidates think about different issues by going to such and such a website. What weren't any of those steps taken?
Well, in the ballot pamphlet, we did refer people to the Pacifica Elections website. However, some of the questionnaire replies are still not posted, and it's sometimes difficult to get a hold of the national web worker. And so I don't know why. So the latest I've seen was said as of November 10th, we will post everything within the next week, and I think that notice is still up. I know that Pete's overworked, but I don't understand why some of that material wasn't posted in a timely manner. I think that having this election website up now will make it easier to do in the future, but I think, again, we need to look at how we organize and present our information, and I'll write more about that in my final report.
Okay, just one footnote on the not notifying the voters that the information was there. The notice about the website just said more information generically. I don't think 99% of voters who don't have any questions, the instructions are clear, would have any reason to go to that website unless they knew there was an entirely new set of information from the candidates where they spelled out their views on all kinds of issues. So I just think that should have been more explicit. But let me go on to my last question, which is that there were complaints filed at both WBAI and KPFK that concerning several things, but that were never answered by either the local or national election supervisor, but in particular on the question of staff members violating the rules to endorse listener candidates using station resources. And I want to know why neither the local supervisor nor yourself ever answered those complaints one way or the other.
Well, some of those complaints have been answered. There were programmers taken off the air at KPFK and KPFA. However, I believe what you're referring to is the question of staff and being included in the private slate mailers, and the station resource or foundation resource that was used, of course, was the mailing list that's accessible through California nonprofit corporation law. I don't think we ever really got a definitive answer about whether the people sending out those mailers have complete control over the content, which was my impression from the KQED precedent that was cited by our foundation counsel, or whether the bylaws and the fair campaign provisions would take precedent over the KQED court precedent. So we did not really delve into that, and it's something that really needs clarification before we enter in the 2009 election.
Unless I miss my guess, the next person that it asked to speak was Lisa.
I have a question.
Oh,
I wanted everybody else to get theirs out before
okay.
Lisa and Saab.
Have you already asked a question?
I don't object. Somebody else.
Okay, go ahead, Thomas.
My question is, how much have the elections cost?
I do not know what this year's election cost. I believe last year's were in the neighborhood of $220,000.
All right.
Lisa?
Okay, Casey.
Wait, before we go there, Thomas, this year's will be more. Lisa?
Okay.
Much more.
I just want to get a little bit more clarification because I could never quite understand this, and I heard you mention it again tonight. And you mentioned that you delayed the mailing of the ballots. You said with KPFK, and I believe this applies to WBAI. I would like for you to make that clear. But you said you delayed the mailing of the ballots because of being threatened with a lawsuit if you mailed them out on time. I know you said that that happened with KPFK. Is that what happened with WBAI as well?
I'm going to ask Dan first whether this should be discussed in executive session or whether I should go ahead and answer it.
Well, Casey, I think if you want to explain your reasoning, that's probably something the public has a right to know.
Right. Okay. Well, what happened was that an individual in New York, board member, had approached the previous executive director in mid-September asking for access to the mailing list for the WBAI listener election. And by law, there's a 10-day turnaround for fulfilling that request. Generally, that request is filled by giving access to the list through a mailing house. At that point, two things were happening. One was that the Greg Guma was readying himself to end his term of office, and he felt that a successor might be better suited to address that request because the person making the request had allegedly abused the privilege in the previous use of the list. Also at that time, there was a resolution that was proposed to go before the PNB, although I don't believe the PNB ever voted on it, to
to disallow the use of private slate mailers in our election. So those were a couple of reasons why Mr. Guma did not fulfill that request. So by the time it came to the attention of the interim executive director, the 10 days was already expired. And so there was legal pressure on us to fulfill that request. What Dan and I decided jointly was that it would be prudent to require the use of the mailing house we were using in order to protect the list, the foundation property, our membership list, from address harvesting. And so the person requesting access to the list then had to use our mailing house rather than the mailing house in New York with whom he had already made arrangements. So we were asked by that person's attorney to delay the mailing of the ballots in order that the slate mailer could go out at the same time. And we acceded to that request because we were already beyond the 10 days compliance time.
Okay.
And perhaps Dan would like to shed some additional light on this, but that's pretty much what I remember of why we were required to delay the mailing of the ballots.
Dan, do you have anything to add to that?
Not now.
Okay. Then the next person is, I believe, back to Sarv.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And then we have about 10 more minutes total for this item. Then we're going to move to Margaret's reading of her urgent motion and then to executive session.
Okay. I think that's... sorry if I was a little bit rough on you, Casey.
I'm used to it, sir.
I, that's all right. I just want to make sure that you can understand that the selection has invited a tremendous amount of legal activity and liability on the foundation and a tremendous amount of expense. And so you can see why I, as a board member, would be hot under the collar when I see this. And I, especially when you were hired 2 months early, and the idea was that you'd be better prepared for this election. This election so far is like $40,000 over budget. Do you really think that, in your judgment, I think you must think that you are fulfilling the terms of your contract, and that, and we have tried to give you all assistance, and we have asked you if we could even provide you with some neutral party to help you out. And what we have heard here is that, it's, to me, it's an indication of failure and performance, because I see lawsuits throughout the network questioning the legality of these elections that you have conducted here. And so I ask you, this KPFA election, when you counted those ballots, did you had those other write-in ballots at that time with you?
Yes, all the ballots were there. You're talking about the listener election?
Listener election.
Yes, well, the write-in ballots were among the 3,400 ballots that were scanned.
Thank you.
And then tabulated by the election, by the vote counting software.
That's right. And you had, it went through the whole thing, and you got the results. And then, now you want to go back and count. How many are these write-in ballots that you have to go back, and you're saying that you're going to hand count 3,000 ballots?
No, I did not say that. I did not say that. I said I was preparing to write my report to certify that election, despite the problems in that election, which, yesterday when I was at KPFA, there must have been 15 people asked me, are you going to count the write-ins for the listener election? And, but that you can't just count the write-ins. You have to recount everything if you're going to do that. I do not see that there will be a significant difference if we do a recount.
Well, when can we expect the election to be ratified here?
As I said, and Dan said, I'm working on a report about that now. Sometime within the next couple of days.
When will be certified? When the election will be certified here?
Give me
your best judgment.
Point of order.
Give me your best judgment.
Yeah, I understand the point of order, Wendy. Why don't you answer the question, Casey?
I just did.
Okay. Within the next 2 days.
I will try to get that done as soon as possible.
Get what done now? Would you recount?
The election supervised. No.
I can't just say certified. I have to write a report that explains the circumstances.
Okay, thank you.
We're looking forward to it.
Thank you very much, Casey, and I hope you have a safe trip home.
Thanks very much, and I would like to express my sincere apologies to the board and all for any problems that have arisen during this election. It certainly, I don't believe, was from maladministration on my part or generally on the part of the LESs, except for the mistake that was made in Los Angeles with the staff election ballots, a replacement ballot. But I do think that there are many issues that need to be revisited before we have another round of elections in 2009, and I will certainly try to address that in my report and make myself available for discussion with the task force on elections if you go ahead and set one up.
Thank you.
Dan, can I ask you, we're going to go to executive session. Will we need to call Casey back for executive session, in your opinion?
Yes, I think he should be ready to do that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Casey, if by chance it turns out the other way around, you may see my phone number pop up on your cell phone again, but otherwise, have a safe trip.
Thanks very kindly, and happy holidays to all of
you. You too, and thanks for all your work.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Casey.
That concludes this item. The next item is Margaret had asked for us to consider a motion on short notice, and I went over the issue around notice, and this is similar to what happened at a previous meeting with a motion by Chandra Hauptmann, and we agreed that she could read the motion and then contact our national program coordinator and ask him to consider whether he would write an editorial. So we wouldn't need a motion from the board. If we do need a motion from the board, we can do it via unanimous written consent. But I wanted Margaret to have the opportunity, because of the urgency of the matter, to read her motion while we're still on the meeting. So, Margaret, do you have that motion handy?
Yes, I'll read it very quickly. Thanks to the board. It's a resolution in support of anti-racist campaigning and to protest the arrest of a black community leader in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Whereas Benton Harbor, Michigan is 94% black with a 70% unemployment rate and an average income of $8,000, while St. Joseph, a city across the river from Benton Harbor, is over 90% white with less than 10% unemployment, whereas Reverend Edward Pinckney, Mrs. Pinckney, and others in the Black Autonomy Network of Community
Margaret, organizations.
Yeah?
Can you slow down because it's hard to hear each word and they're all important. So.
I'm sorry.
Read it methodically. No rush.
Okay. All right. Should I start again or just continue?
Please.
I'd like you to start again because I think it would be hard for anyone listening to have caught all that, and some of those ideas are very important to be considered.
Okay. It's a resolution in support of anti-racist campaigning and to protest the arrest of a black community leader in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Whereas Benton Harbor, Michigan is 94% black with a 70% unemployment rate and an average income of $8,000, while St. Joseph, the city across the river from Benton Harbor, is over 90% white with less than 10% unemployment.
whereas Reverend Edward Pinckney, Mrs. Pinckney, and others in BANCO, the Black Autonomy Network of Community Organizations, regularly monitor courthouse proceedings where overwhelmingly Black defendants are tried, whereas BANCO has made public the names of public officials involved in corrupt and or racist practices, whereas Reverend Pinckney and BANCO has opposed rampant police brutality, particularly following the death of yet another young Black man and other attacks against the grassroots of Benton Harbor, whereas Reverend Pinckney was outspoken in opposition to a land grab disguised as a development plan for 465 riverfront acres in Benton Harbor proposed by the CEO of Whirlpool, which is headquarters in Benton Harbor, and supported by city commissioners considered by the grassroots to be corrupt and in the pockets of developers, whereas Reverend Pinckney and BANCO's success in having a city commissioner recalled for abandoning the interests of the community and instead to support the interests of Whirlpool and developers was met with the reinstallation of the city commissioner, followed by attempting to silence the grassroots and criminalize Reverend Pinckney without either evidence or credible witnesses for the prosecution, an all-white jury found Reverend Pinckney guilty of election fraud, whereas Reverend Pinckney has been under house arrest since, having to pay $84 a week for the court tether he is required to wear in order to avoid serving time in jail, and is the only person under house arrest in Michigan who is monitored by satellite, whereas on December 14, 2007, and yet another outrage against Black low-income residents of Benton Harbor, Michigan, community leader Reverend Edward Pinckney was arrested and jailed without the immediate option of bail for being quoted in the press as criticizing the judge who sentenced him and his computer was seized. Whereas the mainstream media has ignored the case of Benton Harbor and the racist attacks, including a cross burning, suffered by the Black community of Benton Harbor, whereas Reverend Pinckney's constitutional right to free speech has been violated, and he has been the victim of a series of racist miscarriages of justice, whereas Pacifica Radio's mission stands for peace and justice, whereas Pacifica Radio aims for the voices from underrepresented communities to be heard and for the right of free speech to be protected, therefore be it resolved that the Pacifica Radio Network encourages its flagship stations and affiliates to inform the listening public of Reverend Pinckney's case and the movement pressing for his immediate release for all charges to be dropped. And I might add to that what Dave said at the beginning of an editorial similar to what was done in Chandra's proposal on the San Francisco 8 to be done. So that's it. Thank you.
So we're going to be, I'll be circulating that text via email, and we're going to be asking for unanimous written consent because it wasn't noticed a meeting. You could respond as quickly as possible. We'd appreciate it, and I assume that there's no objection from any board member for Margaret to contact our national program coordinator and or executive director and ask for them to issue a statement on this.
Can I just say Reverend Pinckney is on a hunger strike right now in jail?
For how long?
Thank you.
Dave?
Go ahead, Margaret. How long has he been on the hunger strike?
Yes.
He was arrested on Friday, so he hasn't eaten since.
Okay.
Point of
yes,
order?
Lydia? Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't this just require the two-thirds vote because it wasn't noticed? Why does it require a unanimous written vote?
No, the reason is that we can't get, let me back up. The reason the notice provision is in the bylaws is because in the previous administration, or what some people call, I won't use the term, but anyhow, there were meetings that were held and they weren't noticed adequately or people who were not part of the in-group did not receive information about what's on the agenda, et cetera. So the way the notice requirements are, it requires waiver of notice. And the way they're written, you have to call everybody and as long as nobody objects, you can conduct the business. But this was noticed at such short notice, and even though the item is important, I feel that the precedent of allowing to put on the agenda at the last minute is a bad one. So I'm asking, for, in other words, I don't think that somebody who might have objected would have had the opportunity to the business being considered would have had the opportunity to respond necessarily. I know we have at least one member who couldn't get that information. So even though I don't expect that it's in the least bit controversial, I do think it's important to hold to this precedent. And so we're going to ask for unanimous written consent. And as long as the information gets out there, can get posted on our website, as long as, you know, Margaret speaks to our national staff and they can get that information out, then if by whatever chance we don't get unanimous written consent, we can officially make it a PMB action at our next teleconference. But I don't expect that will be necessary.
I personally think that it should just require the two-thirds vote, which is sufficient not to have, you know, frivolous and unnoticed items. I think we have done that in the past. But, you know, it's not like a meeting that we're holding without notice, because this meeting was properly noticed. And if I may.
Sure.
And especially because we're doing this at a holiday season when we know, for example, one board member is incommunicado completely, and another board member, well, at least two other board members are ill and are not going to be having access to phone or email either. And to hold it up when we have passed other not previously noticed motions with a two-thirds vote seems kind of absurd to me, but as long as we have quorum.
I'm not familiar with our ever having done it during my tenure. It's not that the motion wasn't, the motions don't need to be noticed. The items need to be noticed. The things that we'll be considering need to be noticed, and it wasn't. You know, we could conceivably say that all the members of the PMB on this call agreed to the motion and have that announced if the importance is an announcement. But I really think the precedent of not having items that weren't on an agenda put on an agenda at such short notice, I believe it's an important one. And I think that if
Can we just move without another speech, please? And
I'd like to.
Okay, then I move that everyone who votes for this tonight, that be noted, and that if it's a unanimous vote, that everyone on this call unanimously voted, and then you can do your long explanation and say that we'll be voting it formally at the next meeting.
Okay.
Sandra, could we quickly ask a question? Does anybody object?
Yeah, I was just about to ask, is there any objection to Margaret's noting that all members present on this call approved this motion? That we will formally approve it either via unanimous written consent or at our next meeting. If there's no objection, then that's adopted. Okay. Now then, we need to adjourn to executive session. I'd like to take a 10-minute break, and I'll see you on our executive session in 10 minutes. And thank you, Margaret.
For the rest of the members, could you stay on for a minute? Are any of our stations besides KPFT airing the Iraq editorial? I hear it all the time on KPFT, and I'm so proud.
I don't know. We can find. You can ask.
You're the one who was supposed to hang up. I was talking to them, and they all hung up.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
See you.
Bye.